The World This Week. I'm Alan Jackson, CBS News, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Concern about energy was a dominant theme in the news this past week. At a NATO meeting in Brussels, at a cabinet meeting in London, for an opposite point of view, at a gathering of oil producers in Vienna, and finally at week's end, at the U.S.-French summit meeting on the Caribbean island of Martinique. One conclusion? Energy from oil is going to remain expensive for quite some time. The British, who, as Charles Collingwood reported, are quietly going broke, paying $10 billion a year for oil imports, began a new program of modest restrictions. Energy Secretary Eric Vallery spelled it out.
We're going to reduce the speed limit on our roads. We're going to have heating restrictions in our workshops and offices. We're going to restrict display lighting. And, of course, there's the prospect in this country, just as there is in any other country, of dearer energy prices. But this isn't just a panic measure. This is a long-term measure, something that we've not dreamed up just as a gimmick. Energy saving will become a part of our way of life in Britain.
Members of OPEC, the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Nations, met in Vienna this week and agreed to raise the price of their oil a little more to the big oil companies and to lower it a little to independent and state-owned oil systems. To achieve stability, they explained, and emphasized that these prices won't be raised again for at least 9 months. Iran's Interior Minister Jamshid Amuzigar.
What we did also in this session, which I think is good news, very good news for the consumer, is that my delegation proposed that the price should be stabilized for 9 months, and it was agreed. So we are not going to have a quarterly revision of the price. This price is going to be the same, stay put, until October 1, 1975.
At the NATO meeting in Brussels, there was talk and apparently some progress on efforts to develop a common Western strategy on oil prices and in a search for alternative sources of energy. From Brussels, Secretary of State Kissinger returned to Washington in time to accompany President Ford to his summit meeting with French President Giscard d'Estaing on Martinique, where there were indications in advance that a common oil strategy could be worked out. White House correspondent Robert Pierpoint reports.
The languid atmosphere of this lovely tropical island may be just a setting for reconciling the differing viewpoints between France and the United States, particularly on the oil crisis. As President Giscard pointed out in his eloquent toast last night, a meeting between our two nations is always a rendezvous of freedom and friendship. While historically true, this spirit has not always prevailed in a post-war France dominated by the anti-Americanism of Charles de Gaulle. President Giscard, however, appears to be moving back toward more traditional Franco-American cooperation. Initially, the French were not happy about the U.S. strategy for overcoming the world's energy and financial problems brought on by the exorbitant price of oil. The French feared that a consumers' cartel led by the United States would bring on a confrontation with the oil producers, which could simply shut off the supply. The United States, which only imports about one-sixth of its oil, could survive, but Europe could not. On the other hand, Secretary of State Kissinger's point that nothing can be done to bring down oil prices until the major consuming nations get together and agree on a negotiating position, that point is beginning to have an effect on the French. Judging from the apparent movement toward each other's positions evident in the meetings so far, President Ford and President Giscard are ready for a compromise that could restore Franco-American relations to a new post-war level. Robert Pierpoint, CBS News, Martinique.
The World This Week will continue after this message.
The lady is very special. She loves the ballet at Lincoln Center, the theater in London, dinner at Maxime's in Paris. That's the lady. Very special. Now take away all the trimmings, but leave the scent of her Margriffe perfume in the air. Now close your eyes. The lady is still unmistakable. Margriffe, just the perfume to wear to a Broadway opening night or the Kentucky Derby. It's the very special fragrance for very special people. Margriffe perfume from Carvan Paris. It says a lot about you without saying a word. Margriffe, give a gift of Margriffe to someone you know who's very special.
If the British so far have imposed only modest conservation measures, Americans so far are still relying on voluntary measures to conserve energy, and for the most part, they aren't working. At week's end, the president's chief energy and economic advisors met at Camp David to begin drafting details of a new energy program, possibly including some mandatory conservation measures. In the background, the economy this week continued its persistent skid, but with some faint indications that inflation may have begun to peak out. There were conflicting views from the big auto industry, on which so much other industry depends. Henry Ford is not optimistic.
In my opinion, the United States today is in serious trouble. Our problems are not just the problems of another recession. They go much deeper than that. The standard forecast these days seems to be that recovery will begin at the middle of next year. In my opinion, however, there is no reason to believe that we will have a magic economic upturn in 1975.
But a principal spokesman for the competition, General Motors Chairman Thomas Murphy, says he thinks there will be an economic upturn in the middle of 75, and that the bottom is not dropping out of the economy. The Middle East deadlock dragged on for another week, enlivened at one point by the Egyptian suggestion that Israel halt further immigration for 50 years, to which the Israelis replied, among other things, nonsense. This week on the continent of Africa, significant changes began to occur in the white-ruled country of Rhodesia, whose population consists of 250,000 whites and 24 times that many blacks. Ian Smith, the Rhodesian prime minister who not so long ago insisted that the blacks would not gain political equality in his lifetime, this week indicated that they probably would. He recognized previously outlawed black political organizations and agreed to hold a constitutional conference with them.
I have received assurances to the effect that terrorist activities in Rhodesia will cease immediately. And secondly, that the proposed constitutional conference will take place without any preconditions. Accordingly, I have agreed to release the African leaders from detention and restriction, and their followers as well. They will be permitted to engage in normal activities in terms of the laws applicable to all Rhodesians.
Death came this week to an outstanding figure on the American journalistic scene, Walter Lippmann, interpreter of events for more than half a century. It was in a CBS News interview almost 10 years ago that Lippmann commented on U.S. overextension in the world.
We are not the policemen of mankind. We are not able to run the world, and we shouldn't pretend that we can. Let us tend to our own business, which is great enough as it is. It's very great. We have neglected our own affairs. Our education is inadequate. Our cities are badly built. Our social arrangements are unsatisfactory. We can't wait another generation.
Walter Lippmann, commenting on the state of affairs a decade ago, dead now at the age of 85, and hailed by President Ford as one who played a major role in shaping a new standard of journalism. The World This Week has been produced by Harry Poloshin. I'm Alan Jackson, CBS News.